Everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I am here with Tyler Bowe.
What's going on, you guys?
We got Michael Johnson, the Menace, on the show today. It's going to be a good show. It's Tuesday. I want to thank our sponsors, Tip a Fighter. Guys, we know that fighters are underpaid. They should be making a lot more money than they do. They're entertaining you guys every single week. Well, now there's a way to help that. Tip a Fighter. It's not charity. It's a pay for performance. It's majority of fighters are not paid enough to even call it a profession. You tip other service providers. You tip waiters, waitresses, strippers, all kinds of people you tip. So now you could tip fighters. Fighters, sign up for this, okay? It's free money. You're fighting anyway, might as well get paid more money. So go to tipafighter.com or at tipafighter, find out all about it. Also, American Icon Autographs, AIASE.com, the best sports and celebrity memorabilia and events. Sign collectibles from the UFC, WWE, baseball, football, movies, everything else in between. Past signings included Fedor, Sakuraba, Rampage, Big Nog, Hoist Gracie, Marlies Conan, all kinds of great people. Check out their website to find out who's signing next, AIASE.com. Tyler, how are you, man?
I'm doing good.
Just me and you right now. I got we're supposed to have Vince Pichel, but his buddy got into a motorcycle accident. He's at the hospital right now waiting for the surgeon. Yikes. I just got that text just now. Vince, hope your buddy's okay. And then, you know, we have it's me and you today.
Yeah.
I like it. It's going to be fun. How was your weekend?
It was good. Kind of laid low. I did a show at the Ice House with like Eddie Ift and Jason Stewart Saturday night, and been working on a lot of writing stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool. Actually, you, me and you got together. We actually wrote for the MMA Awards.
Yeah.
That was fun. We got a bunch of really funny sketches. I'm very excited about it this year. I don't know if we're gonna top the All About That Cake that got 40 million hits, but we're on our way. So I'm excited about that. Also, I did shows. I had a show Thursday night. Where was I Thursday? I was forgot where I was Thursday. I had a show somewhere, which actually it went really well though. I remember the show going well. I forgot where it was, but I had two shows on.
This man's life is a blur.
It really is. Two shows Saturday, hosting the shows at the HaHa. That was fun. It was a fun crowd. Sunday at the HaHa. Yesterday I had a show at Sal's. There was like six people in the crowd. They were good. Sometimes like I'd rather have a good six than a shitty 100. You know, sometimes you get 100 people there that just, you know, look at you like you're fucking crazy or they're doing you a favor, and you get six people that are laughing their asses off. Yeah. I'll take the six.
Yeah.
Any day.
I know that sounds insane to like people that might be listening, but it's true. Like what you want is the people that are engaged and that are responsive, you know, that are there to have a good time. And you can have 100 people that are just chatty and
yeah,
garbage.
Right. No, you could have, and then sometimes there's so many people that aren't laughing. You're like, oh shit, man, maybe they know something I don't know. You know, so that happens to me. But I had one lady get offended on Saturday night. She got upset, and then you know, but everyone else laughed, and I kind of made fun of her, and then she came back, and then she said to me after the show, I wasn't offended. Blah blah blah. We hugged, so that was cool. Then I had two callbacks this week for two different shows.
Yeah, Adam and I actually ran into each other at an audition.
Yes, that was crazy. And then I went back there yesterday and there was another 50 comics that I knew. So it was one of those, the same 50 comics. It was like, yeah. You know, but it was like Sarah Tiana, Jeff Keith, Ron G.
That's good company.
Like all these, yeah, there were all these people that I knew there. But yes, that was fun.
Did you do the same script on the callback?
Which was good. I actually had a callback on Thursday for a show. I did a show. I know where I was. I did a show in Long Beach at this bar, which was fun. Actually, Colchino told me I was the first comic to ever get everyone quiet.
Oh, Ciravella's.
They're usually always talking. And so I went on, and it was funny because I told this girl how much I wanted to bang her, and then she was the comic's daughter. So that was like, she was like 20 something, and the comic was like, that's my daughter, this female comic. I was like, uh-oh. But so then afterward, my friend Mike's like, want to smoke some weed? So I'm like, sure. So I smoked some weed in the car, me, him, and some other girl who didn't want to ruin her voice, but she wanted us to blow the weed in her face. So we were smoking pot and just shotgunning weed in her face because she didn't want to inhale it herself. It was weird. This cute comedian chick. And then of course, 11:30, I got a call. Hey, you have a call back tomorrow morning. And I was like, oh.
Always. That's always the way it
right
works.
After I smoked, so I was like, all right. So I go home. And then I spent up all night working on this callback. 3 o'clock in the morning when I'm up doing it. I get up. I actually have a friend come over at 10 in the morning. We work on it again. I get there at noon, and they're like, oh, by the way, it's a different script. Did you get the different script? I was like, no. They gave me a whole different scene. I had 2 minutes to learn it, and I still did okay, but I was like, fuck, man. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? And of course, there's some guy complaining, like, this is bullshit. I didn't have the time to know the different script. He's yelling at the casting person. And some other guy butters up. He's like, hey, sometimes you're on set and you'll get different scripts. And then, so that, of course, the guy that was the big kiss ass was my partner. I already hated him to begin with. So anyway, and then I've been working out, actually. I've been going to the gym. I can't, like, do jujitsu or wrestling still because I get my knees fixed December 23rd. But I have been working out. I still, like, I go to Gold's Gym. It's, like, $15 a month to go to this gym. But it's all roid heads. I mean, you go there. There are guys who look like their biceps are bigger than my head. And it's like we're stuck in a time warp. They're wearing, like, fanny packs,
those rhino teeth, or the tank tops with like the
tank tops with like the cutoff shirts. Guys wearing belly shirts, and even the girls look like they're dudes. They have that jawline, and just
I used to work out at a gym in Portland, Oregon, like that. I got a membership, super cheap, and it was great because it was open. It was like a warehouse type gym, old school, like 24 hours, 365 days a year, and that's what it was. It was like me. And then a bunch of like serious like muscle heads, like dudes that just like you go there and like the entire, so I'm at the gym, say maybe I'm there for like 45 minutes, an hour, and I'm doing like a full, like I'm doing, you know, circuit training, like this, that, and the other. And then the entire time there's a dude who's like just doing shrugs for like an hour. Just like,
I always notice the bigger the guy, the lighter exercise that he's doing. I'm like, what are you doing to contain this? I actually almost got into an argument with some guy. I'm at the gym, right? And someone calls, and I was just got off my the treadmill, so my earphones were blasting. So I'm sure I was talking louder than I should have been.
Yeah.
So somebody calls me, and it's somebody. It was some type of thing for an audition or something important. So I go over to the corner to talk, and I'm talking about to this guy, and I'm pretty loud, and some guy keeps mouthing at me. Just yelling at me, but I'm talking. I'm like, I don't have time for this, right? Oh, it was like somebody was offering me work. So it was like a work job. So I get off the phone, and some guy comes up to me and goes, I don't want to hear your entire conversation. I go, I don't give a fuck what you have to say. I go, I really don't care what you have to say. Yeah. And then the guy looked at me. He goes, I could tell. But and like I don't know, just because I was all sweaty or something, and then just walked away. But I'm like, what is that? So what? You have to hear some of my conversation. You got headphones on anyway. Like, give me a break.
Yeah. It's not like you were getting crazy personal.
No. And even if I was, who cares? Like, get over it. We're at a gym.
Yeah.
We're not a fucking library. It's a gym.
Some people get way too comfy, though, man. I was at the gym on Monday, and I saw, like, you know how they got the mirrors everywhere?
Yeah.
It's a dude, like, picking his face.
Really?
Like, in front of the mirror.
That's
like
ridiculous.
Popping a pimple on his chin. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? You do this in the bathroom at your own house. This is not, you don't do this in the gym.
That is weird, picking your face.
It's nasty.
Oh, yeah. Although, I gotta say, I have this ingrown hair on the back of my, right here.
Thank you for sharing.
It's like a zit on my face, and I'm gonna get it removed professionally. Like,
Is that bad?
It's been there for like 4 years. And I notice it. You really can't notice it, but I can notice it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to a dermatologist, like $300 to get it removed. I'm like, fuck it, you know?
For one piece of hair.
No, but it looks like a mole almost.
Yeah.
You can see it. I don't know. It is kind of a, I don't know. I do feel like kind of a pussy getting it removed, like leave it there, but it's annoying to me.
You got
to
get it out though. That's when you see that if you've let that go too long, then you're going to end up like one of those dudes in like a YouTube video that's like, you know, 10-year-old ingrown hair bursts and like you'll never believe what came out.
Speaking of YouTube, so we're at the audition yesterday, and I'm sitting there, and like Dan Cummings is there, who's a really good comic. Yeah. Me and Dan actually were roommates on Last Comic Standing for like our semifinal thing in Vegas, and there were some good comics there. There were some other people there. I'm like, so I go to this other guy. I'm like, oh, are you a comedian? He goes, I'm a YouTube comedian. And I was like,
so no.
But I'm like, dude, the word comedian has become like such an overused word. And then I go to some other girl. I'm like, oh, you do comedy too? She goes, I'm a Vine comedian. A Vine comedian?
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, really? You can't just say comedian. Like, no, you're a Viner and you make videos on YouTube. They should not allow to use comedian after these words.
I think when you say comedian, people assume that you do stand up. And that's what, when we're talking, that's what, like, you say, oh, Dan's a comic. Like, you go, okay, he's a stand up. But people throw that all like around all the time. Like I'm a Vine comedian.
Are you a fighter? Like, I'm a Vine fighter.
Yeah.
I'm a YouTube fighter. Yeah, I'm just gonna go around saying I'm a Vine. Yeah, I fight for seven seconds. And then some other girl was saying that like she does fucking. She's got a deal on Snapchat. She's got a comedy deal on Snapchat with like Comedy Central. They're giving people Snap. They're making Snapchat TV shows.
Isn't that like a one-on-one thing though?
I thought it was to send dick pics. I never went on Snapchat. I went on for 3 seconds. I was like, this. I don't even know what this is. This is like a whole new world. I don't have time for this. But now people are getting TV shows off Snapchat.
What?
Fucking YouTube comedians and Vine. Why do I go to fucking Mexican restaurants, sweating my fucking ass off, driving an hour and a half, 3 hours to learn a fucking craft when I could just say I'm a YouTube comedian or a Vine comedian? Why am I doing this? Why am I learning a real fucking craft? Why do I spend half my life trying to be good at something when I could just become a Vine comedian and end up in the same fucking audition that I'm at?
Because look how much happiness it brings you. That's why.
Yeah, so fucking, so much happiness. Anyway, Vince Pichel, I had fucking 97 questions for him. He canceled on me. What?
Here's the reason why you learn the craft is because when it comes time to actually do it, you've got the chops. Because a lot of these people, they'll get a little bit of notoriety on YouTube or something like that, and then you'll see them at a club. And they're horrible on stage.
No, you can't make it. I don't know how. I mean, maybe you can make a living being a Vine comedian or a YouTube comedian, but I could actually make a living being a comic, and people will hire me and be like, that was the funniest I ever laughed. But now it's becoming ridiculous. I mean, it's like being a DJ. There are some good DJs out there, but I'd much rather.
Whoa. I'm a DJ.
Are you really?
No.
No, I'm a YouTube DJ.
I'm a Vine DJ.
Fucking
Here's my 6 second cut. That's it.
Did you watch Bellator on Friday?
I did not.
Oh, God.
I just watched the highlights online.
All right. So there were some good fights on Bellator. I'm liking Bellator. I like their product. The MVP fought Michael Venom Page. They got to get this guy real competition. And enough is enough. They can't keep bringing in people that aren't even in the organization to make their debut against this guy. I get it. We get it, people. Bellator, we get it. He was a karate champion. He was the best. He was awesome. Okay, but time to have this guy fight a real guy. Because he fought this guy that looked like he had no idea he was even going to fight Michael Venom Page.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, what is this guy doing? Like, let's get him against a real opponent, please. Somebody who's a wrestler, who's had more than one Bellator fight. I like Michael Venom Page. I think he's fun. I think he's a star. But if you're really confident in him in Bellator, okay, get him a real opponent. Enough is enough.
These guys look phenomenal until they get paired up against someone who's got comparable skills and stuff like that. You see it all the time, and he's obviously got selected like early on, and he is a star. I think he's got great skills, but he's got, like you said, you don't know how good a guy is until he gets tested.
Supposedly he was his karate champion in Europe or some type of kickboxing champion. He looks awesome. I love watching him. I'm not knocking him. I'm knocking the matchmakers, okay? I like the matchmakers. I met the guy, Rich Chu. Cool-ass guy. I met him in Pechanga. I understand you're trying to build a star, okay, but enough is enough. If I'm going to fucking take my time out of my day to watch this thing, I want to see a real fight. I want to see a guy who has a shot of winning this guy. Now, also, Bellator, the time delay is killing your fucking product. You can't have a fight on at 9 o'clock Eastern time and then air at 9 o'clock Western time. There's a thing called the internet now, okay? There's a thing called Twitter, okay? So people are going to know the thing. They're not going to watch your sport. Either, I don't know. I don't know what the solution is. Put it online live, okay? Is Cops really getting that many viewers where you have to put it on for 2 hours? Are people really fucking, you know, are people really getting into Bar Rescue? I know it's a big sport. You're playing replays of Cops, okay? You have to have it live. I don't want to watch a fight that I know a guy already won. It takes away the fun of it. And I told Rich that when I saw him in Vegas and whatever. He's like, I know. That's killing your product, this time delay. I don't want to go to fucking First Row Sports or one of these fucking websites where they illegally stream shit and then have to watch your thing. It's just not fun. I don't want to have to even then I'll get all these pop-up ads, and next thing you know, I'm like, I'm being wanted by the mob or something, or whatever it is, the government, for streaming live shit. I don't want to do that, okay? Put it on live. Figure it out.
This is a good point. This is honestly one of the reasons I don't watch or make an effort sometimes to catch the fights, because I'm on Twitter all the time. And like you said, dude, by the time the fights are even, I could even watch them. I already know what happened.
Yeah. It's killing their whole organization. Like, do you really think people would watch the UFC as much if you knew who won and then they would air it 3 hours later on the West Coast? No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't. So anyway, this guy Gotti Yamaguchi looked fucking great. He's a Japanese guy. He paired up against another Japanese guy. Although the Japanese guys, when they face Americans, they have not yet to. I mean, back in the day, they were killing us.
Why do you think
Sakuraba
that is, man? I've always wondered about that.
This new class of Japanese guys?
No, I just, like, so many martial arts have come out of, like, a long history of different Asian cultures, but, like, there's no Asian dudes, like, killing it in MMA.
There was. I mean, at one point, there was Sakuraba, the Gracie killer. There was Kid Yamamoto was a beast at one point. There was, you know, Takanori Gomi, the Fireball Kid. There's been a lot of guys back in the day. Lately, I don't know. I don't know if it's because, number one, the UFC isn't the biggest promotion over in Asia. A lot of those guys go to 1FC first.
Yeah.
Or they go to they get more money on there. I think also maybe it's just sports in general. They don't have the wrestling background. They can't deal with the wrestling.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the food they're eating. Honestly, maybe it's the diet.
Not enough horse meat.
Maybe you look at what's in American product food and you look at what's in Japan. Maybe they're eating too healthy.
No, but I look at the you know, different weight classes, and you'd think in the lower weight classes there'd be some dudes like a lot more.
The guy who won Tough China is not even in the UFC anymore.
That's. I also wanted to, some of these guys, they train too pure, because I feel like over there, there's like, you know, there's definitely a feeling that, you know, like, you know, this type of karate is the best, and or this type of kung fu is the best. So you got to do just that. And then maybe they're not training.
They do.
Like,
I mean, they're good at catch
MMA
wrestling. I don't know. It looks like they don't have the explosive power. They can't deal with the explosiveness that American athletes can have, or even Brazilians, or even some of the Europeans. I don't know why it is. I do not know why it is. I know that if you go to like Thailand and you watch some of these Thai fights, these guys are kicking the shit out of your legs.
Yeah.
But in all this mixed martial arts, I don't know. I enjoy watching them, but it does. Like, there is something about watching a guy like Gotti Yamaguchi and going, okay, yeah, he beat this guy Kobayashi, but would he beat an American dude?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll tell you, Dennis Olsen came out with a legalized Diaz shirt, which was pretty damn cool. Probably the best part of his fight. He got killed by Brendan Ward, who Brendan Ward actually, you know, he lost to the Barn Cat, Tamden McElroy. Tamden took him apart. But since then, he's looked amazing. The kid's got it all. Brendan Ward, surprisingly. And then, of course, the main event was Carvalho versus Helsley. Helsley, I don't know how Carvalho got out of that arm triangle. You watch, someone please tell me that, because you watch the first round of that fight, he had him in a deep arm triangle that I don't know how the guy escaped. I don't know how he escaped. Somebody tell me on Twitter. If you listen to this podcast, explain to me how that he got out of that, because I still have no idea how he got out of that. And then he won with a liver kick. Those fucking liver kicks. I don't care how good of an All-American you are in wrestling, how tough you are. You get a kick to the liver, it pulverizes you.
Crumpled him. And that dude is... He's big and he looks strong. And he just crumpled.
He just crumpled. UFC Fight Night. You watched that?
I did.
Ireland. That was a... You know, everyone talking so much shit, saying, this card's gonna suck. You know, the best guys... Yeah, it just goes to show you. Okay? There were some great fights on it.
There was a lot of fun fights.
A lot of fun fights. Sometimes you have the best fights on paper, and it doesn't work. And sometimes you have shit. It's like chicks. How many times were you like, man, this chick is fucking smoking hot. She's fucking beautiful. She's this, that. And then she sucks in bed. Okay, that's never happened. Never, never actually happened. Never once. No, but I'm saying, sometimes you get a chick where she's like a 6 or a 7, and she just can work it. She can just... You never had that before?
She rises to the occasion.
You never had a girl rise to the occasion?
I would say the crazier the girl, the better.
That's true. Sometimes you get a blowjob where you're like, damn, that was too much. That was too good. That, like, where did you learn that? What's going on?
You're like, get out of here. I can't trust that.
Yeah, you're like, you had way too much experience on this. And I had a girl one time tell me, your sperm tastes so good, which made me feel good till I realized she was an expert in taste of sperm. And then I was like, that's a professional sperm taster, and that's scary. Right? Right. So anyway, Patrick Holahan versus Luis Smoka. That was one of the best fights I've seen in a while. Back and forth action. Happy Smoke won. He's a Hawaiian dude.
Yeah.
He's a friend of MMA Roasted. All the Hawaiian guys are usually the best. They have the best sense of humor. And he looked awesome.
No, that fight was just, dude, start to finish, that fight was a scramble. And I, you know, as a wrestler and stuff like that, I love to see the technical stuff on the ground. I mean, I love good striking and all that, but those guys were all over the place. There was a lot of submission attempts and attacks and like changes of position and stuff. It was a great fight. I was trying to think of what were the other big fights on that card.
I'm telling you right now, Tom Breeze destroyed Cathal Pendred.
Which
what?
A lot of people I saw on Twitter were really excited to see.
Yeah, I don't know what the hate on this guy is. I mean, why do you hate this guy? Because he,
Pendred?
I mean, yeah, why people? He's a nice guy. He came on the show. He was cool as shit.
I have no ill feelings towards him. I think he's caught a lot of fortunate decisions. I think maybe that's why people.
Yeah, he did. He did
don't like him, but
which is stupid. But I don't know. He's now lost two in a row. Tom Breeze, undefeated guy, looks really good. This dude looks like he is the truth. Norman Park, I was happy that he won.
The Darren Till
Nicholas Dalby.
That to me was the fight of the card.
Easily,
it was such a back and forth battle, and the turn like. In that third round, when the fight turned, it was just unbelievable.
We're going to have Dalby on the podcast, by the way. I think next week, Dalby's going to come. Norman Park looked great against Reza Madaddy. And, you know, look, you can't take a year off in prison and then come back and fight at the high level. I don't think you can. It doesn't seem like you can. You know, and Reza, I don't understand why you go out and fucking steal handbags. You get into a handbag theft thing. What the fuck were you thinking? You just beat Michael Johnson. Look at Michael Johnson now. He's fighting Nate Diaz. So we're going to have him on the show. Norman Park, I was happy. He had a couple tough decision losses. A couple could have went his way. Happy he finally looked good. I wanted to have Dustin Poirier, Norman Park press conference. Park was in on it. And then Poirier said, Park's a bum. Have him win some exciting fights first, then he could do a press conference. So that's where that is.
He got the win against Madaddy, but he gassed a little in the third. I think he wasn't super happy with his performance because I think he wanted to come out and get a really convincing win. But
I think Park's one of those guys where he's good at everything. He's not great at anything. I know he has. I think he won, one point he was in a junior world, just kind of regional, some kind of title he won for judo.
Yeah,
or some kind of wrestling title. But he doesn't. Looks like he's a good, solid fighter at everything, and he'll grind and he'll make you work,
dude.
Whether or not, but I don't know if he's great at anything yet. Yeah. He might be great at. I mean, he's great at everything, but he's not. You know, a specialized world renowned guy.
All those Irish guys, though, so scrappy, man. They just.
Yeah. Neil Seary looked great.
Yeah.
And then Darren Elkins looked great against my boy. I wasn't pissed about that because I like Darren Elkins too. But Robert Whiteford, Elkins, man, he's just a fucking grinder.
I like that guy. I was rooting for him.
He's just a grinder.
Yeah.
He's just a grinder and he's just going to come at you, you know. So. What else are we going to talk about? John Jones announced last week he's coming back. I think they're going to try to get him on the April card in the Garden. That's the word on the street.
Yeah.
He's lifting huge weights. You see him? He's like powerlifting now. And the dude, it looks huge.
Yeah.
I like John Jones. He's obviously master of the hit and run.
I do not.
You don't like John Jones?
I don't. I mean, I can't deny him as a fighter, but I'm the kind of fan, like, I can't get behind a guy if I don't like him as a person. I have a hard time. I respect his fight. Like, dude, he's one of the best ever. I can't deny that. But him against Cormier, I'm rooting for Cormier all day.
Me too. Let me clarify. I like him as a fighter. As a person, when I met him, he was nice as shit. That was years ago. That was 5 years ago. Do I respect him as an athlete? Yes. Do I respect him as a guy who hits and run on a pregnant lady? That's fucking horrible. Yeah. The cocaine is unacceptable. It's just like... But do I like seeing a guy come back? Yes, I like seeing a guy get go down and come back. And he might not come back. Look at Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods never came back after all that. Granted, I think it was worse. Woods got it worse than John Jones, right?
Because of what?
But I'm saying in like the press and all that, I think Tiger Woods was more embarrassing what happened to him than John Jones. Do I think what he did was worse? No.
Yeah.
I think cheating on your wife, while I wouldn't do it, I don't think that's worse than hitting a pregnant woman and running away.
Yeah, I think he probably caught more bad press because he's a bigger athlete in a bigger worldwide sport or whatever. But I'm not like a harsh dude either. Like I'll cut somebody a break. I understand everybody makes mistakes, but like it's when someone makes a mistake and another mistake and another mistake, then you go, okay, like this isn't a one time deal. This is a pattern of behavior,
right?
And hopefully he can turn things around, but I don't know. It's just hard for me and like coming.
Tyler Bogue taking a stand, man. This is the most you've ever seen from Tyler Bogue, people.
I can't root for the guy.
Tyler Bogue versus John Jones. Are you gonna root for Hector Lombard or no?
He's fighting.
No, but I'm just saying. Are you rooting for him, even though he said you weren't funny?
Is he going to come on the show? Yeah. I got to keep in good standing with him if I can, because we never get in the same room together.
He likes you. He's a good dude, Hector. Now, will Jones come back? Look, y'all look at guys who came back and never were the same. I was making a list. Michael Vick, okay? I mean, he went to jail. Jones didn't go to jail. Do I think dog fighting is worse?
Did you ever see that the interview where they said, they lobbed him a pitch. They were like, Mike, you're out of prison. You know, you paid your debt. Is there anything that you would have done different? And he's like, nah. And the interviewer, the reporter's like looking at him like, this is your chance to like say you're sorry and be like, yeah, I messed up. And he's like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Vick, you know, he never came. He came back. He's never been the same. A-Rod, he had a good season this year, but not the same as he was back then. I mean, maybe age has caught up to him.
Yeah.
Will John Jones be the same? That's the question. Hashtag MMA Roasted Podcast question. What do you guys think? Personally, I think he'll be just as good. I just do. I think he's that special of an athlete.
He's young. He's in his prime.
Look at the genes. Look at the genes he's been blessed with. His two brothers are in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, not that he hasn't earned what he has, but that's some good genes. That family has some good genes.
I'm sure he works hard, but he had definitely had a good base to get started on.
Now, Luke Rockhold, not Luke Rockhold. Yesterday, Vitor Belfort was supposed to do Ariel Helwani's show.
I saw.
He gave Ariel a bunch of questions to ask him. Ariel, or his management did. They said, Ariel said, no dice. You don't ask him what to ask you. And then he didn't go on the show. Good for Ariel, by the way, for not caving in. But that's like, you can't do that. You go on someone else's show, you're in someone else's house. You eat what they give you.
Exactly.
So, and you know what? No one would have even talked about it, okay? But now that you didn't go on the show, it made press. It was all over all the MMA press. It's like you made a huge deal out of nothing.
Yeah, he probably got himself more bad press by dodging
than
by
more.
Going on. Because, you know, if he could take a page out of Bubba Jenkins' book, and if Ariel would have asked him a question he didn't want to answer, he could have just hit him with that dodgeball.
Yeah, hit him with the dodgeball, and he would have got out of it. Also, Ronda Rousey is on the cover of The Ring magazine, which is the Bible of boxing. I love The Ring magazine. I read it all the time. Gareth Davies, great, writes some great articles about it in that magazine. But why is she on the cover? She's not a boxer. There are women boxers out there.
Because they want to sell magazines, that's why.
But listen, boxing, bad fucking move. I understand you want to sell magazines.
She's going to be on Golf Digest
really,
next month.
Serious, like, why not? Why not just put fucking Tom Brady on Golf Digest? I mean, seriously, boxing, first of all, you got stars. You have Triple G, okay? You have Triple G. You have Triple G. No, you have. There are legit stars in boxing. I watched Triple G fight. That was good. What about the kid from Omaha that fought last week? Did you watch his fight?
No.
Terrence Crawford. Why isn't he on the cover? Has he been on the cover? Okay, he's an undefeated star. He looked great in his fight last week. Put Klitschko back on the cover. There's other guys put on the cover, okay?
Yeah.
Kovalev, put him on the cover. Put Tim Bradley on the cover. Put Paulie Malignaggi. Put anybody. Ronda Rousey's not a fucking boxer. Why is she on the cover of The Ring magazine?
Money. It's all about that
money.
And
then they tried to say, would she come to boxing? She's never talked about coming to boxing. She's never expressed any interest coming to boxing.
Maybe this is a huge lead up to her fight with Mayweather. Just getting started on the press trail.
Maybe that seriously, but it just I understand the ring. You're not making boxing look good. Boxing fans were pissed, and I'd be pissed too.
Yeah.
This is the Bible of boxing. This is the only magazine in boxing. I watch. There's a couple other ones. I don't even read them. I love the Ring magazine. They have a great magazine, but like Fighters Only magazine is not putting Mayweather on the cover.
James Toney.
Well, James Toney actually tried doing MMA. That would make more sense.
Yeah.
At least, I mean, I understand. You're trying to sell. You know what? It'll probably sell a ton of shit. And what the fuck do I know?
I'm sure
it's a business.
Here's the thing, though. Boxing fans might not get it, but MMA fans will probably go snatch up that magazine as a collector's kind of thing, or try to get it signed. And then you got people that watch boxing and MMA who probably want to go buy it too.
She should only be on if she shows her box. That's that she shows her box. Then I don't understand.
But she
that.
Trains boxing, right? Every MMA fighter trains boxing.
Yeah, she trains boxing, but so what? I mean, but that's not, she's not a boxer.
That's true. I train boxing. I am also not a boxer.
Yeah, you should be on it. I'd rather see Tyler Bowe on the cover of Ring. By the way, Joe Jaggi, put Tyler on the cover of the Ring magazine.
Shop that up, Jaggi.
So Koscheck wants to fight Paul Daly again in Bellator. Bad idea, Josh. Josh Koscheck, I think, should be retired. He lost 5 fights in a row, 4 by a stoppage. And what's the point? You beat Paul Daly, and you beat him in your prime. I don't think it was Daly's prime. I think Daly's actually hitting his prime now. And you get knocked out by Paul Daly. It's like, what are you doing? At one point, I watched a video. Koscheck had a plane. Okay, you have your own gym. You work hard. You are a national champion. You were an amazing collegiate wrestler. You were an amazing MMA wrestler. You fought GSP twice. You were right there. You won the Ultimate Fighter, I believe. You won the Ultimate Fighter. You're a great fighter, Koscheck. You're amazing, but what are you doing? You're killing your legacy. You're killing your body. You're fucking up your brain. What's the point?
He's definitely getting into that territory of he needs to be told to stop. I think of Jens Pulver, who I'm a huge fan of, as one of those dudes who like retired and came back and retired and came back.
Yeah,
and
Jens fought 2 weeks ago.
He's such a stud, but you're like, you don't want to see him keep.
No,
going
you don't. But I think he. I don't think he has. I think he might have to do it for the money.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Koscheck's fine with money. I understand you want to do it. Bellator, you know, it's like I understand you want to get these names, but signing guys that lost 5 fights in the UFC, what is it really doing for your promotion? Especially if they start winning. Now, granted, look, Robbie Lawler lost like 3 fights in a row. Now he's a champ. So there are times. Arlovski lost, I think, 3 or 4 fights in a row. Now he's fighting for a title contention. There are times where I'm wrong, and there are guys that like hit their stride somehow. But there's also guys walking around like fucking drool, okay? And I don't want to see that. Maybe it's me. So John Jones's manager, Malky Kawa, who has always kind of been a shady guy from what I hear, he said he's never seen John Jones this focused. And then somebody said, we should see him snort an 8-ball. Somebody actually tweeted me that.
So does this mean he switched from Coke to Adderall?
Yeah.
He's incredibly focused.
Yeah, I mean, but according to Rampage, he's not happy that Jones is back. He says that the way Jones leg kicks, his legs will never be the same. Because he does that like front kick to your knee.
Yeah.
And a lot of fighters are complaining about that. They say that he really fucks up people's knees. My thought is, if it's legal, he should be able to do it. If it's legal, what he's doing, if you're going to say those kicks to the knee should be illegal, make him illegal.
Yeah.
But as long as they're legal, he's not breaking the rules.
Yeah. He's within the rules, and you got to, I guess, change your stance, learn to check those somehow. I mean, you can't really check a front push kick to the knee is kind of hard.
But yeah.
Aren't there some MMA, some states or some commissions that don't allow those?
I don't know. I've seen them in the UFC all the time, and I understand why that would freaking kill your knee.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if it's legal. If it's legal, you can't blame John Jones. You got to blame the commission or you know the people in charge. So Chad Mendez and Frankie Edgar are going at it now, which is actually, I thought there was going to be no trash talk.
Yeah.
But I guess what happened was Edgar said something to the thing where Mendez, he went to that fight looking for a paycheck, looking for a way out. I was going there to win, and then Mendez says, no way I'm ever going to fight looking for a paycheck, looking for a way out. I'm going there to win every single time. There's no way I'm going to take a dive. There's no amount of money in this world that could pay me off in a fight. I'm a very competitive person. I've been competing since I was 5 years old. Yeah, I don't think that I was at that fight. And I don't think that Mendez was... Well, he was looking for a paycheck. Everyone was looking for a paycheck. He's getting $500,000.
Yeah.
Who's not looking for that? Was he taking a dive? No. I honestly think that he got in shape in 2 weeks. He was hunting and doing a hunting show before that. He was drinking. This dude drinks. He's a beer drinker. Probably drinks moonshine. He's one of those dudes. And
so does Cerrone, but that doesn't seem to slow him down.
I was at that fight. If you were at that fight and you saw the Irish fans cheering like I've never, you couldn't even, my voice was gone. I've never seen anything like it. And then Shane O'Connor comes out from underneath the fucking basement and starts singing. And then he gets the guy from Staines to start singing. It was like, it took so much out of you. Chad was tired, legit tired after round one, halfway through round one. 30 seconds in, he looked tired. You know, I don't think he was looking for a paycheck. I think that he wasn't prepared for that big of an event.
You could say he gassed, you could say he had an adrenaline dump, but did he look phenomenal in the first round? He put a beating on Connor in the first round. And then,
most of the second round, too.
Do you think, obviously we know what happened now in retrospect, like looking back, but like, do you think Edgar would have fared better on a short notice fight in that situation?
Yes, because I think that Chad, I think Chad is always in somewhat shape. I think Frankie is training with the Rutgers wrestling team like 4 or 5 days a week. I think he's legit staying in shape like nobody else. He was waiting for the call.
Yeah.
Even before, like he was waiting for the call. Edgar got the call. But I think, Mendez got the call. Edgar was waiting for the call.
I also think Edgar's probably been in more high-pressure situations high-profile fights, headlining fights. I mean, Mendez is a stud. He fought, you know, all...
He fought in Brazil twice.
He's done that, once. But I think Edgar probably has more experience as far as, like, those kind of situations.
I think also Frankie's got better cardio.
Oh,
He's just a cardio machine.
That dude's nonstop.
You know, Chad, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I can't wait for the... I don't know. People keep asking me, who do I think is going to win? Two fights, I don't know. I do not know. Are the TJ Dillashaw, Dominic Cruz fight.
Yeah.
I keep going back and forth thinking about that fight. And the Aldo McGregor fight. I don't know. I mean, when was the last time you saw Aldo look bad in a fight?
Never.
I mean, maybe round five against Hominick. He got dominated round five against Hominick. Okay.
Hominick looked like E.T. by the end of that
fight. But still, that Hominick did great that round five.
That was a crazy fight.
But before that, but since then, and even before then, and we're not talking about his early days, when have you seen him look bad?
Mendez might have been his toughest challenge to date.
But
that said, he didn't look bad.
No, right.
He still looked phenomenal.
At the same time, Connor's a tall dude. I mean, you look at Connor next to Uriah Faber. He's a foot taller, a foot and a half taller.
Yeah.
And Faber, I mean, he's just bigger. He's a big dude. He cuts down. So we'll see. Although I would like to, I think Connor is really good for the sport. And I can't tell you how many people say to me, "What's up with that Irish guy? When's that Irish guy fighting?" I mean, Connor and Ronda, two people that are getting people who are not interested in MMA into MMA, which is good for the sport. You know, it's bad for, I guess it's bad for some guys to get cut because I don't understand that. By the way, so what's the name wrote a really good article about how Miles Jury, and I happen to like Miles Jury a lot. So he made a whole article about what it costs to fight. So he said, for example, UFC's 2015 entry pay is now $10,000 to show and $10,000 to win. All right, so you got 10 and 10. Right up front, it's half the fighter's pay relies on whether they win or not, right? There are expenses. Expenses. A fighter wins, earns 20 grand. He gives 2,000 to the gym, 4,000 to management, 6,000 to the taxes, 500 to medicals, 1,000 for coaching, 1,000 for miscellaneous. Total expenses, $14,500. So out of that 20,000, the fighter goes home with $5,500 if he wins. If he doesn't win, you know, a fighter loses, you know, he goes home with $1,500 out of the 20.
Jeez.
So, you know, which is why, you know, tip a fighter helps. But just so you know, I mean, right? Fuck.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like a
are these the numbers you rattled off, are those flat fees with most guys, or is those percentages of a purse?
Percentage of a purse.
Okay, dude, it's the same. Like for you guys that don't know, in comedy, when you get to like a little bit higher level, obviously, like I'm not huge, but I still have a manager and I have an agent and stuff like that. So Adam and I, it's like it can be very similar. You get a gig, and sometimes the sticker price on the gig is great. And then you pay
yeah,
out
your $20,000 and walk away with $4,500.
That's robbery.
I mean, and I it sucks.
I know you've done gigs. I've done gigs where I've walked with less than 50% of the sticker price.
I've done gigs when I was starting out, even like 8 years in, where I was like, I had no money to get to San. I had enough money in my tank to get to San Diego, $20. If I didn't sell shit, I wasn't getting home.
Yeah.
So I mean, because I wasn't getting paid for a couple weeks. So yeah, That, of course, it sucks. Any job that you would do for free,
yeah,
that you get paid for, you're gonna get fucked for a long time. Now Conor McGregor, I guarantee, is not making 10 and 10. These are guys that are probably first fight, second fight, third fight. But then you see some guys in like WSOF making like 2 and 2, or 1 and 1.
Yeah.
Or you know, even Invicta cards, the girl who was writing for the championship was getting $1,500.
Yeah.
So it sucks. So we got to figure something out here. I know that there was a big article about the UFC only giving a certain percentage to the fighters. They weren't factoring in how much it costs to put on an event, this and that. So I would like to see the real numbers one day. I don't know how we'd ever see them. We'd have to like have Dana or the Fertitas given to me, but it's just a lot of speculation. But it does suck because when you think professional athlete, you know, he's a professional athlete. You know, you see these fucking basketball players and these football players and the kicker who's making $300,000 for the year or something, or the $500,000 for the year, whatever he's making, or $1 million for the kicker, you know, and a guy like, you know, Miles Jury, who just fought Donald Cerrone, I would think is taking more beatings than the kicker, and probably deserves a little more, in my opinion. I'm more entertained by Miles Jury than, you know, Gino Tartaretta, whatever the fuck his name is. But, so anyway, that being said, I want to thank our sponsors, American Icon Autographs, AIASE. Here's a guy who does sponsor fighters, and he's really good for the sport. This guy's name is Sean. Great dude. AIASE.com, the best sports celebrity from the UFC, WWE, football. I just said football. I'll say it again, football. And everything else in between. Also, tip a fighter. Okay, what did we just talk about? How much these guys are getting fucked. Okay, so now tip a fighter is helping out by giving you a chance to show fighters how much you mean to them, whether it's $10, $20, $50, $100. Listen, I know I'm putting money on Valerie Letanoo, who's fighting Joanna Jędrzejczyk for the UFC 193. She's a 20-1 underdog, but I think like if you put money on Joanna, I think it's like you got to put like $2,000 to make $100 or something.
Yeah.
But if you put money on the Valerie, I think it's like 9 or 10 to 1. So yeah. I'm gonna put $100 on Valerie, and if I win, I'm gonna split some money with Valerie. So I know that she's got Hector Lombard in her corner, and you know that's a tough guy to be around. So if Hector's
very intimidating,
if Hector's coaching you, I think she's got a shot. She's got a shot. You guys would probably think, Adam, you're fucking crazy. Okay, this girl Joanna looks like a world beater, and she is a world beater, and she killed Carla and she killed Jessica. But you know what? She didn't look that good against Claudia, and I have a feeling this girl Valerie is gonna pull the upset. And I'm saying that because I told you that, and I don't want Hedger to get mad at me and take away my word. So I'm putting money, and if I win, I'm throwing her cash. So let's call Michael Johnson right now, who's fighting Nate Diaz coming up in December. That's gonna be a hell of a fight.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, is this Michael Johnson?
Yes, sir, the one and only.
Nice. You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast. It's me, Tyler Bowe. How are you, Michael?
I'm good. I'm always good. About yourself?
Good, man. I was watching, you got a big fight coming up against Nate Diaz. I can't wait for that fight. It's going to be in Florida, right?
Orlando. It's a few hours away.
Nice. Now, how are you getting ready? I know Nate's a beast on the ground. He's got really good striking. How are you preparing for Nate Diaz?
Yeah, I'm just preparing like any other fight. You know, I'm just staying with my hard training partners, you know, the guys I know that are going to push me, you know, the guys that I know that got better boxing than Diaz. You know, I'm going with the guys that got better ground game than, you know, Nate. So, well, we're not worried about no point in this fight. You know, we're going to go after him. I'm, you know, I'm going to look to retire him. You know, he's going to be done with the sport when I get finished with him.
So you're going to retire Nate Diaz?
He will be retired. I mean, there'll be nothing for him after me. He's not going to be able to get back up there.
Wow. Now, you know that Nate always talks a ton of crap during his fight. Are you having your sparring partners curse you out and, like, emulate him during sparring?
My sparring partner's been cussing me out. They're not talking shit or anything like that. But it got a little heavier than shit-talking and sparring today, but that's just us having fun. Like I said, once he starts barking off in the fight, that's not going to make any difference. You know, I'm not going to be paying attention to it.
So you're not going to get it because you know he's going to give you the finger and talk shit to you during the weigh-ins. Are you going to engage in that at all?
Well, he can talk all the shit he wants to. He can try to sell wolf tickets. He can try to talk shit in front of the cameras like he's going to be doing. But once we get in the cage and once we start fighting, you know, I'm pretty sure there's going to be no more shit talking after that.
Are you the kind of fighter that needs that like anger and animosity to get fired up, or are you just ready to rock because it's a fight?
Nah, you guys know I don't need to get mad or angry to go in there and fight, man. It's a fight, man. I go in there and handle business. There's no reason for me to get mad and angry. You know, emotions make you weak.
Now, your last fight, you got robbed against Benny Dariush. That was a fight, and Benny's a good fighter. You know, I had you winning every round. I don't see how he got the win, but how pissed were you, and how did you deal with that?
I was upset. Yeah, I'm pretty sure y'all saw it. You know, I was real pissed, especially knowing that I took him completely out of his game, stuffed every one of his takedowns, beat him up on his feet, and for them to give him the win is just outrageous. It looks like I was set up. I don't know what it was, but, you know, I shake it off, you know, I get right back on the training, and, you know, I got to get ready for my next fight, so.
Now, I know you have a pretty hot girlfriend, right? You have that like white girl you're dating? Black girl, white girl?
Yeah, yeah.
So is she white or black?
It's Macedonian, so you consider her white.
She's Macedonian.
Now,
I know you were fuming. Now, later that night, was she like, hey, listen, Michael, lie down. Let me take care of you. And she gave you amazing head. Is that what happened?
Of course. That's what always happens. Win or lose. It's got to happen.
Nice. See, that's a great way to deal
course,
with it.
So it's forgotten about already.
Okay, that's good.
Job well done.
So you were all pissed. She was like, Michael, let me take care of you. Macedonian style, giving you amazing Macedonian head. So that's good. That's really good.
Like we say at the podcast.
Yeah, are you getting excited?
Me? Yes, absolutely. This is
getting really
Never leave it in the hands of the judges, but always leave it in the hands of your girlfriend.
Yes, that's what we say. Thanks,
right.
Ted.
And that's the most bullshit line ever, never leave it in the hands of the judges.
Hey.
Those dudes get paid to do a job right, and then you do their job right.
Yeah, no, that is bullshit. I mean, you went out there, you won the fight. Now, how much more money would you have won if you would have won that fight?
You know, what I have. You know, money-wise, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I still, Dana, you know, Dana Lorenzo took care of me. So they gave me my win bonus. So, you know, even if, you know, I still didn't get the win and it still, you know, fucked up my streak, I still got my win bonus. So I was taken care of.
Oh, that's good. There you go.
That's
See?
Huge.
That is really cool. And, like, you don't even hear about that. All you hear is how negative, negative, negative. The fact that, like...
Yeah, everybody shoots negative. You know, they saw what was shit and they took care of me. So.
Now, how do you feel about the whole Reebok deal?
The whole Reebok deal is what it is. You know, it shows me that it's growth in the sport. You know, I definitely think there's no doubt about it. It takes a little bit away from the fighters. You know, but we also gain a little bit in, you know, being in Reebok and everything like that. The money could always be better. But at the same time, I'm not complaining. I guess it's just one thing that we don't have to worry about. We don't have to worry about, trying to rush for sponsors or getting sponsors or have our managers, trying to get this guy and this guy and waiting on sponsor money and all that shit. So, I mean, at least we know we got guaranteed money coming to us at the end of the fight on top of our purse.
Yeah, that's the other side.
You want to look at the positives. Yeah, there you go. So.
Now, your teammate is fighting our co-host, Bubba Jenkins. He's fighting Jordan Parsons. Who do you think's going to win that fight?
Bubba's your co-host?
Yeah, Bubba's fighting Jordan Parsons. Yeah, he's the co-host.
Yay, Jordan just left my house. Jordan's cool. Of course I'm going for Jordan. Come on now, man. His teammate, that's the brother. He's been down here working hard.
Can you give us any?
He's going to be surprised.
Can you give us anything to tell Bubba that might help him win?
Of course not. Tell Bubba to keep his hands up.
Yeah, tell Bubba to keep his hands up.
Jordan called in and did a press conference with Bubba, and they had an epic shit talk session, man.
Yeah, they don't like each other. Because Jordan called Bubba out, and Bubba took that personally. So now it's like, Bubba says that Jordan says Bubba's not a real fighter. He's only doing this because he doesn't want to get a real job. And then Bubba said he's going to fucking kill Jordan and yada, yada, yada. So it seems like a lot of shit talking going on. Yeah. So.
Yeah, the same old shit talking. You know what I'm saying? Right now. It's going to be a hell of a fight. I know that.
Yeah.
Jordan's been down here working hard. He ain't playing no games. So.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a really good fight. I've watched a lot of Jordan, and he's a good fighter. He's a great fighter, and Bubba's a great fighter as well. So it's going to be fireworks. Now, Now, how do you feel about Conor McGregor?
Conor's okay in my book. I have no problem with Conor. We're cool. We're friendly. We're cordial with each other. He's doing his thing. My hat's off to him. But he's not a guy I need to worry about. He's not in my division, so he can continue to mop up the little guys and be happy down there.
how do you think you would do against him if he came to 155?
Oh, come on now, man. How do I think I would do against him?
Yeah.
No question he'd get beat up. He knows that.
I mean, you think...
he knows that, but he, like I said, he's not a worry of mine. He's not an issue.
Do you think it would go past one round?
But yeah, he'll definitely get beat up. He'll get beat up 100%.
Do you think it'll go past the first round or no?
Yeah, it'll go past the first round.
Oh, all right. So Conor,
I don't like to call out my rounds, and I don't like going in there and getting like quick first round knockouts. I like to go in there. I like to fight for a little bit, and I like to get in there and get dirty. Guys that go in there and try to get first round finishes and try to hurry up and finish the fight quick, those guys don't want to fight. They want to get in there and they want to hurry up and get the fight done and over with and get away. So that's not me. I like to get in there and fight.
Well, you're a great fighter, man. I mean, you're on a great streak. I don't count that Benny as a loss, and that was kind of ridiculous. If you beat Nate Diaz, are you how far are you away from the title shot?
Maybe if I beat Nate, I should be next in line. I know Khabib's up there, but he's got to deal with Tony Ferguson, which I think is a tough fight for Khabib. But if I go in there and I beat Nate the way I'm planning on going there beating him in a dominant fashion, then it should be no question why I shouldn't be next in line for a title fight. I mean, you take away that bullshit decision, I'm on a 5-fight-1 streak, against top guys.
So. Now, who do you think wins, Dos Anjos or Cerrone?
I've never seen Cowboy this motivated, and this determined on the streak he's been on. So I think Cowboy's going to get his revenge back on him.
Do you think Dos Anjos was taking steroids or no?
You want me to answer that truthfully?
Yeah, answer it truthfully. Come on.
No comment.
Answer it truthfully?
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of steroids, but I wouldn't say he was completely clean. You could tell, and it's a thing where you can tell with fighters now how they used to look compared to how they're looking when they get in the cage. Like, it's just a completely difference. So I'll be surprised if DeSantis even makes it to the fight, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at his first four fights in the UFC, he looked like me. And then And then his next four fights, he looked like fucking Superman, and he just started killing everybody. It was a little bit like, are you going windsurfing right now or something? What's going on?
No, I just stepped out of the house. I'm about to go to practice.
Oh, cool. So,
but yeah, I completely agree. When he got in the UFC, he was small, frail, and now he's beefed up, killing everybody. And now let's see how his body looks now.
Yeah.
When this new drug enforcement's in.
I'm looking forward to it. Well, listen, Michael Johnson, you're a great dude. When you come out to L.A., we got to hang. Kill it in December, man. I can't wait for your fight against Nate Diaz. That's probably the fight I'm looking forward to the most the rest of the year, man. You always put on a good show. Thanks for being on the podcast, man.
All right, perfect. Thank you, guys, man. Appreciate you having me on, and I'll definitely be hitting you up next time I'm in L.A.
I love it, man. Take care, Mike. Thank you, man. All right, that was Michael Johnson. What do you think about that, dude?
He's a good dude, man. And I like that guy. I like his fight style. I think it's funny that he said that he likes to fight.
Yeah.
He's such a grinder.
Yeah.
Like, I would think that most guys would want to get in there and finish fights fast.
I would want to be in there in and out, like, as quick as possible. Fuck that. The longer you're in there, the more chance you have of losing. I would assume that you can get caught.
And the more beat up you're going to get.
Yeah, but he's a fighter. He's a great athlete, great fighter, great wrestler. And, you know, I was a fan of him from the Ultimate Fighter back in the day. First time I saw him, I go, this guy could be dangerous. And, you know, he went to Greg Jackson's. That didn't work for him too much. He was winning. He was losing. He found his home in Black Zillions, and he's just one of those guys. I think, you know, he's training with, you know, the Eddie Alvarez's and the Jordan Parsons and these tough guys over there. And it's a good little home for him.
Yeah. It's so cool to hear that he got his win bonus too.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of stuff that is awesome to hear, just because I think everybody thought he won that fight.
It doesn't happen in other sports, but there's a bad call.
Yeah.
The NFL isn't giving you the team that loses the win bonus.
Hey, everybody gets a ring this game. Sorry the Super Bowl went the way it did. Everybody gets a ring.
Right, exactly. Well, listen, that's our show today. We're going to cut short because I actually have to shoot a TV show right now. I can't say what network, but it's going to air in January on television, on cable. It's a real show. We're going to be back here Thursday. We have Alan Juban, the Greg Wilson. I think we have Poirier on the show on Thursday. It's going to be a good show. I think Marina might come back. So I want to thank our sponsors, American Icon Autographs, AIASE.com, as well as Tip a Fighter. Get these guys paid. Okay, tipafighter.com, at tipafighter. You want to get the best, build up your man cave, collectibles, best sports memorabilia, American Icon Autographs, AIASE.com. Also, Tyler, anything coming up?
I'm at the Tilted Kilt tomorrow night in Victorville, California. I'll probably be at the Ha Ha this weekend.
Nice. This Friday night, I will be headlining the Hollywood Improv. I'm doing
That's
a 45 minute set. Hollywood Improv, if you want free tickets, hit me up. I will hit you up. Free tickets. It's going to sell out. Get there around 7:30, 7:45. I've already got over 200 reservations. So thank you guys so much. Thank you, Sideshow Network. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Andrew. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.